In 1959, a French acrobat named Charles Blondin crossed Niagara Falls on a tightrope. Blondin was an amazing, amazing acrobat, but he didn't do it just one time. Blondin crossed the Niagara Falls, that 1,100-foot gorge between Canada and the United States, multiple times, doing a number of theatrical variations. Blondin went across on blindfolded. He went across on stilts, in a sack, not quite sure how he managed to do that, carrying a man on his back, and one time even pushing a wheelbarrow. The people were amazed at Blondin and what he could do. But as he came across the gorge, close to one side, pushing the wheelbarrow, the crowd began cheering louder and louder. They were amazed at Blondin's work and what he was able to do on the tightrope. As Blondin got to the other side, he asked this question. As the crowd was cheering, he said, "Now, who would like to sit in the wheelbarrow and ride back to the other side?" And of course, the crowd fell silent. There was a matter of trust with Charles Blondin to a point, and we see proof of that, obviously, until he asked that question. Today's gospel from Mark describes what some believe as a typical day in Jesus' ministry. He was in the synagogue in Capernaum. Capernaum's a small fishing village on the Sea of Galilee, and that's where Jesus' ministry happened for a while. And after teaching in the synagogue, an astonishing thing happens. A man with an unclean spirit calls out to Jesus. The spirit is fearful of Jesus. And actually, the spirits actually seem to understand Jesus' identity better than his own disciples. Jesus' ability to drive out demons shows his power over evil. And in the pre-scientific age of Jesus' time, all illnesses were understood to be manifestations of evil. Possessions by unclean spirits could mean maybe what we consider today as a mental illness, or perhaps a way of describing certain kinds of physical ailments. And there were a lot of healers in Jesus' time, exorcists, who would try to heal or would heal. But Jesus healed with a unique authority, connecting healing and that healing activity with the words of his preaching. Yet we can really miss the point of Mark's gospel if we try to explain away the healing works of Jesus. The crowd see Jesus curing of the possessed man as further affirmation of his authority. Jesus' power to heal gives greater credence to his teaching. And Jesus impressed the crowds through his words, which are manifested with his deeds. And in no way should he be compared to Jesus, but like the acrobat Charles Blondin, many still doubted Jesus or for who he was. They saw the miracles he performed. They saw him chase out the demons, but he was challenged by the Pharisees, and many, of course, knowing that Jesus was the God-man, still walked away from him and from his teaching. And our challenge can be to put our total trust in Jesus, to know that he is truly there for us, knowing that he is the great healer, the divine physician. And that can certainly be a challenge for us sometimes, because we may ask for something of God or ask for something in our prayer life, and those prayers don't seem to get answered. We wonder if Jesus is really listening to our petitions. And it can become a challenge, but we have to trust, regardless of how challenging that may be at times. And as we prepare to come forward for communion in just a few moments this evening to receive his precious body and blood, it's important for us to know that Jesus truly is present in the Eucharist. He truly is the bread of life. And my prayer for us is that we may all learn to trust in Jesus, completely knowing that his love for us is something that is beyond all comprehension. His love for us, if we imagine the billions of gallons of water flowing over Niagara Falls, and if we try to compare that to God's love for us, it would seem like but a drop of water in the sink compared to his overwhelming love for us. His love for us is ending, and his love for us is unconditional.